Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, time to bring in Bill Shanks, the host of the Bill Shanks Show. 3 to 7 every afternoon, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central Georgia, and 105.9 FM in Warner Robins, and also NBC down there. By the way,
where is he not?
I know. I'm going to start listing where he's not.
Yeah.
Tokyo, Japan.
No Bill Shanks in Tokyo.
Yeah, exactly. No Thailand. Mm-mm. Although I probably should check first to make sure.
Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
I'd like to issue a quick, tiny little apology from yesterday. So I was on with Bill yesterday on his show down in Macon, and they had a couple of minutes where they were trying to – my car just had a disastrous day yesterday, so I was getting it back from the people right at the time we were supposed to be going on there. So I apologize. I meant to text you that last night. But
oh, no, that's all right.
Yeah.
You saved the show. Our show was circling the drain. You saved it, Dave, so
I didn't. I didn't realize until afterwards that you had our man Wiley Ballard on there too. So
yeah.
Wiley's great. I like him. For a tech guy, he's okay. So I do like Wiley.
We needed a strong lead-in for Wiley so someone would listen.
Yeah,
that's why I structured the show that way.
Yeah, I hear you.
Great guy, great young man, great young broadcaster, too.
That's right. He's a Ute of this field. Anyway, so before we get into the Braves, you know, we had you and I had talked yesterday about Coach Dooley and the naming of the field, and I know there's gonna be a lot of people that that certainly get emotional about that, but I know, you know, as I actually didn't grow up a Georgia fan because I was in another state, but you know, I've been here for a long time now. But for folks that grew up as Georgia fans, I know this is gonna be, you know, gonna be a lot of different emotions for what we'll see on Saturday. Are you one of those kind of people?
Yes, and my story that I think represents what Vince Dooley means to people in the state. It goes back to 1981. I was 11 years old, and I was in the stands at a Waycross Bulldog High School football game, and there was a rumor that Vince Dooley was there to see Todd Williams, who, of course, was a quarterback for Georgia in the early 80s. Todd's dad, Dale Williams, who just passed away a few months ago, was the head coach at Waycross and had been a player for Georgia back, I think, for Coach Butts, maybe.
Yeah.
And so there was the rumor that Coach Dooley was there, and it was, and I'm not being sacrilegious, but it was like God had come to town. It was like a humongous event. It was like, oh, my God, Coach Dooley's here. And, of course, now this was the year after the national championship game, right? So, I mean, it was, you know, you can just imagine the atmosphere that it was back there. And I remember being so nervous even to think to Homerville or Blackshear or Waycross or just small towns, not necessarily, you know, Macon or Columbus or Augusta or Atlanta, but when he would show up and just speak and be part of the community and know people, and people would know him because of players or supporters or whatever. I mean, I remember a friend, a neighbor of my mom's that died like 20 years ago. He came to her funeral because she was from a real big Georgia family, and you know, it was just the whole, wow, Coach Dooley's going to the funeral. You know, I mean, he's just he's always been nice to me, and he's I mean, I think he's been nice to everybody. Everybody's not going to like everybody. You know, there's always going to be people who may not like this person or that person, but there are just so many people who I think respect Coach Dooley for what he's done. and just believe that he's made such a contribution to the state, not only the University of Georgia and to the city of Athens, but just to the state in general, that it's going to be a great day on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, 9,000 degrees, but other than that, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Well, that's a great answer. That really is, and I know a lot of folks have just, you know, their own personal stories to tell about that. And
you know what, David, and forgive me for interrupting you, but yesterday after you and I talked and you were on the show, I had like four people call up and give their own personal stories about Coach Dooley.
Yeah.
And that was great. I mean, that was great to hear. And it was like, I'm glad we can hear these stories now and, you know, honor him and celebrate him. That's what's so good about doing this now. And letting him enjoy it, and his players. One of the people who called was one of his players, John Akaki, and it was just good to do something for someone who's done so much for the state and for the University of Georgia. But it was funny that all of a sudden after you and I talked, we had more people. You know, he talked about being recruited from New Jersey and why he came to Georgia and how he wound up in Macon and so forth. And I mean, there are people with Vince Dooley stories all over the state.
That's cool. That's very cool. So, well, I'm glad we opened that door. That's great stuff for sure. Well, anyway, Bill, we'll get back to the Braves' big series coming up this weekend against the Nationals. Let me ask you, a guy that keeps popping up in our conversations is Josh Donaldson. And is there any way in you know what that he'll be a Brave next year?
Sure, I think there's a possibility for that. We know that Alex Anthopoulos loves the guy. We know that I think now that Josh Donaldson has adjusted to his team and has fit in well. I don't think it was happening early on, but I think it kind of happened over time, which it takes time. You know, he took time to, I think, people getting used to what he was and who he was and what he was about and the fact that he was brash. And because I think when he came in there originally, they're like, who the heck is this guy, you know? And he was coming to a new league, and they didn't know him as much. And then when they got to know him, they all were like, this guy's not a bad guy. He's just a little different. He's going to give me heck. He's going to, you know, prod me a little bit. He's going to make me better. And my only reservation with Josh Donaldson was always my belief that Austin Riley is the long-term third baseman for this team, and that Josh Donaldson, even for a year, would get in the way of that. And I think Austin Riley did show us in June what he's capable of. And I'm still, my only hesitation in any type of extension for Josh Donaldson still revolves around Austin Riley. Now, the change in that, David, is that Austin Riley showed us something in June and July and August that I didn't think he would do, and that is that he can play left field. And I didn't think he could play left field. I didn't know if he could be Ryan Klesko and move from a corner infield spot to an outfield position. He can, and he did it better than anybody thought he would. I mean, he shocked everybody. I know Brian Snitker is not against at all having Austin Riley be his opening day left fielder next year. So that has changed things to where, okay, if Donaldson comes back for a year or two, it would probably have to be at least two, then could Riley be in left field? You know, and obviously with the presence of Christian Pache and Drew Waters on the horizon, now finishing the year in AAA, the timetable for them is possibly into next year. Well, if that happens, then what? Well, Markakis has got a contract for next year, an option, so he can come back at a very reasonable price. Enciarte, I think, as we've talked about, will probably likely be traded, or at least hopefully they can trade him to get something for him, because it just doesn't seem like he's going to be needed, even if it's Markakis and Riley to start out the year if Donaldson does come back. So Donaldson, I think what he's done for Freddie, and, you know, look, this doesn't get talked about, I think, enough. Freddie Freeman is a different player. You know, when in the first 4 years of Freddie Freeman's career, he was a 20-home-run, 80-RBI guy. And that was good. It wasn't. There was nothing wrong about that. He was a fine player. He's obviously practically doubled his home run total, and he's going to have 130 RBI this year. He's become a whole different player, and I think part of that's because of the presence of Donaldson behind him. So I expect them to make a huge effort to bring him back, and unless some American League team gives him some tremendous contract, or it doesn't have to be an American League team. I mean, my gosh, it could be anybody. I think there's a very good chance he'll return.
Well, that was my question. Could he get a – you know, with the could he get a 3-year contract for $40 or $50 million from somebody? And if he did, the Braves would probably be out of the running, right?
It's the age, right? It's the fact that he's 34 years old that has to concern you about a contract of that magnitude, I think, for a position player.
Yeah.
But we're dealing with someone again whom the general manager really loves. There's no doubt. That's his guy. And 2 years, $42 million, $40-something like that, would that be okay? I don't know if someone would offer him more than that. And my only other hesitation, in a way, is not knowing how the finances are going to be because of the ownership situation, they need another veteran pitcher. If Dallas Keuchel is not coming back, they need a veteran starting pitcher. I mean, I'd love to have Madison Bumgarner. I don't care who it is. They need a veteran starting pitcher who's probably going to cost money. And I don't want for Josh Donaldson to get in the way of that possibility, considering the fact that they have someone to take over at third base if Donaldson doesn't come back. So, they've got a lot of options, and a lot depends on what the market provides for him. But I'm sure he's going to get a lot of offers, but I'm sure Alex will be aggressive in his approach to try to get him back too.
Bill, enough about the future. Let's talk about today, man. 7-game lead, should be 8, as you and I talked about before we put on air. What a weird game the other night for the Mets and Nationals. But yeah, they do. 22 games left. Where is your confidence level that we will wrap up this division the next week, next couple of weeks?
Well, I'd love to be able to have the kind of weekend against the Nationals in this 4-game series to where on Monday when you guys start your show, you can start talking about a magic number. And that is very possible.
Is it 17
to do.
Right now?
We've been talking about that anyway, Bill.
Yeah,
we're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but start talking about it like it's fixing to happen, within 10 days. And I think that's very, very possible. And look, I think they're going to win the division, and I think we're all confident they're going to win the division. The Nationals would have to probably go 6-1, 7-0 against the Braves to have a chance. I don't think that's going to happen. The Braves are playing too well. The bullpen's playing too well. We know the offense. I mean, the Braves are going to face, obviously, Strasburg tonight, Corbin tomorrow, Joe Ross on Saturday, which is not as big of a deal as facing Max Scherzer on Sunday. So it's going to be a challenge, there's no doubt. And they've got the next 11 games are with the Phillies and the Nationals. So this race and this division will be settled probably in these next 11 games. But I think they're going to win. This is a very comfortable lead. It'd have to be a monumental collapse for them to not win this division. But look, I think they're sniffing 100 wins. They go 14-8. They're a 100-win team, and there is not a human being alive that thought they would win 100 games. Just like a year ago, there was not a human being alive that thought they would win the division. So, but I think they're very comfortable, and I think they're going to get this done. And I expect them to win this series and have a good weekend and have a nice, good lead on Monday morning.
And the good news about having 7 games with the Nationals, you alluded to this already. Let's say that we go 3-4. They're only picking up a single game here. So it's scary to think that there's, 7 games against the Nationals, but that's also 7 games against the Braves for the Nationals. I think they're probably more intimidated than we are.
Oh, yeah. Well, and here's the thing about the Nationals, Logan, that I don't get. All right, they had that miraculous win on Tuesday night, and they turned around yesterday and just wet the bed, and that's not the first time they've done that. They had a game a couple of weeks ago, and we were trying to remember what this was yesterday, but they had a game a couple of weeks ago where they gained a game on Atlanta like on a Wednesday, and then on the Thursday afternoon game they lost, and I think it was before they came into Atlanta the last time. And it's like, if you're chasing a team and they've got a five, six, seven-game lead on you, you can't afford to even not take advantage of those half-game opportunities to get closer to them. And they've obviously been on a ridiculous run here. The Braves have just been better.
Yeah, it's been a great run for the Braves for sure. I was going to ask you one thing, the injury updates. McCann is eligible to come off the IL. Haven't seen him yet. Is there any word, perhaps, you know? I haven't seen anything written about Markakis, Inciarte, any of these guys. I know our buddy Austin Riley did hit a home run in Gwinnett last night. Just give us a quick injury rundown, if you don't mind, on where we stand and who could come back sooner or later.
Riley will be back soon, and they'll I don't. I guess they're going to let him go through this playoff series with Gwinnett and let him play with them. Inciarte and Markakis are just going to be last week of September decisions, and we'll see if in maybe another week to 10 days they send them down to the spring training complex in Northport and let them get some swings or something of that nature to get ready to come back. I hope they will. So we're probably another. I mean, they said the other day that Markakis is healing well. They said that Inciarte is doing some light jogging, but hasn't run yet. So I think that we're just 2 weeks away from really knowing if these guys. You have to hope, I guess, Logan, that they get back about last week can show you something to convince the Braves they belong on that playoff roster. But Riley will be back here in the next couple of days, I think.
Circle back around real quick to the Georgia Bulldogs. A tweet you put out a little while ago. I liked it so much I retweeted it, Bill. You point out that that there have been 23 games. Jake Fromm has had 24 or fewer passes, and Georgia in those games is 23-0. 8 games where Fromm has thrown less than 24 passes, and Georgia's 3-5. So what do you take from this stat you pulled out this morning?
By the way, can I say something about that? That's a great stat, but you know what that is? It's football 101.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that stat is. Go look at other teams across the country. When you run the ball successfully and throw it less, you're going to win more games.
Yeah. It would almost suggest that we have a good offensive line and good running backs.
Well, and I did that because, obviously, you know, I think we all or most of us felt, oh wow, that didn't knock our socks off the other night. It was kind of a normal first week. Things can be sloppy sometimes. A game that didn't have a lot of old wow factors. It wasn't sexy. It didn't have a lot of long runs. The pass that got called back because the hold on Wilson would have made it a little bit better. But I mean, I think we're always expecting more in week one, right? We're always expecting to walk out of the stadium or finish the game and go, wow, that was unbelievable. And it was just a solid win. There was nothing wrong with it. I think Kirby Smart probably felt a lot better about the game than most fans did. And I did that and I looked at it yesterday. We were talking about the game, and I had somebody call up and complain and gripe about the game, and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Look, they won by 24 damn points. They kept the opposing team that was at home out of the end zone. They outrushed the team by 207 yards, and if they rush for 323 yards per game this season, they're going to have one hell of a year. So let's take a step back and realize that this is what this coach does. He likes to run the ball. And while all of us, and I just answered someone on Twitter who said we need to pass the ball more. I don't disagree, but those numbers, I think, prove what David just said and what Kirby Smart believes. Run the football, win the game. You know, we've got a defensive head coach, for crying out loud, who wants his defensive players to make sure they get a little rest and not be back on the field in 2 minutes because we're throwing 80-yard bombs every drive we've got. Could Jake Fromm do that? Probably so sometimes against some of these teams. But I it was interesting to look at those numbers and find that trend and find out that, look, we know that Jake Fromm can throw the ball downfield. We're aching to see Jake Fromm throw the ball downfield to Lawrence Cager and Matt Landers and George Pickens and Dom Blaylock and the rest of them. But we got to remember what this coach likes to do. And I think that those numbers, when I saw that yesterday, guys, it was like, here you go. That's proof? Here it is.
Beautiful.
This is what Georgia football is.
It's beautiful, and it's football 101. And this isn't an exact science, but – if turnovers aren't a part of the equation, and I know turnovers are, but if I run for 300 and pass for 100, and you pass for 300 and run for 100, more than likely, not every single time, but more than likely, I'm going to win the game. So that's the thing. I mean, and that's what Georgia likes to do.
And David, I after seeing those numbers, I asked Russ. I said, "How many times do we sit here on a Monday and talk about a team losing that got outrushed?"
Right, and again, if turnovers aren't a part of the equation, because they are, you know, that kind of thing sometimes. But yeah, most of the time, they win the game.
Yeah.
I think Mike Leach is a terrific football coach. I like watching Wazoo play, and I like seeing what they do, but. You know, he says, "Oh, that running stuff's BS." But you know, he's in the minority. I mean, this is one that's really not. It's not as much of an opinion. It's a it's a stat. It's a fact.
Well, here's another stat for an intern to go find. We ain't got time for it. But you know, how many times in X amount of years has Georgia been outrushed or has Georgia outrushed the opponent and lost the game?
It doesn't happen very often, and Jeff has the stat. I'll get him to bring it because I've forgotten what it is. But when Georgia has a 100-yard rusher versus when the other team has a 100-yard rusher, it's completely slanted in that team's favor.
And you know, even in the NFL, I don't remember it offhand, but I remember when Michael Turner, when Matt Ryan and Michael Turner started in 2008, there was like some ridiculous stat for the 5 years, I guess, Turner was there, about what the Falcons' record was when Turner had 100 yards or more.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And so, you know, even with all the prolific quarterbacks and the passing games in the NFL, you still have to run the football. And so, yeah, those numbers were interesting. And look, plus, if you're Kirby Smart and you see DeAndre Swift, you see Zamir White, who has only scratched the surface, you see Brian Herrien, who obviously everybody loves as well, you're like, I got that offensive line with those beasts up there, and I want to tell you, I know David will be at the bookstore, but I'll probably see you, Logan, before the game down there, and I'll be staring at the offensive linemen watching those suckers down there before the game, because I like to do that and watch to see them. You got those beasts on that offensive line. You got the running backs you have, and you're not going to try to run for 300 yards a game. You're damn right you are every game, every single game.
Do it, Kirby.
Bill, you're the best, man. Always enjoy the Thursdays.
All right, guys. Can't wait to see you on Saturday. It should be a great day, and it'll be great to, even though it'll be 150, it'll be great to be back at Sanford, at Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Thanks, Bill. See you in a couple of days.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Bill Shanks. By the way,
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.